The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another K4 Wins, a very special one. It is week zero. You call this week zero, week 12. I know people don't like the week zero. I don't think it's just week is what it is. It is college football week. We've got five great games going on Saturday. And, of course, my UAB Blazers kicking it off on Thursday against Alabama State at a very, very at-length phone call and a podcast. Mark Ingram is called the UAB Director's Chair. It's fantastic. And was asking him as an athletic director, is this one of the strangest summers you've ever had in college sports? He said, yeah, I've been doing this for 20 years. Of course, he was an assistant AD up at your neck of the woods up in Tennessee, played for the Tennessee Volunteers back in the 90s. And he was like, yeah, this has been one strange year. So of all the people that I've spoken with, he is like ready to kick this season off. He's Kai Gregory. He is the man, the myth, the legend when it comes to handicapping. He's done both sides of it for years and years and years. He's on the right side of the screen. I'm Tony Curry, of course. Worked at ESPN, did sports radio, did a morning show with Aldo Greco, top 20 in points scorer in the National Football League, and won Jay Barker. Yes, that Jay Barker. And, of course, I've been doing radio now for about 42 years. Today it's just the two of us. Case Kiefer, who is the executive director and chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun, will join us next week. He's actually in a meeting right now with those Las Vegas Raiders. He's got meetings, and he's their core writer on Fridays. And then, of course, Kip Kiefer is heading to Atlanta. What's he got going on? His college, I think it's his college thing or his high school. One of their big get ups where they're all getting together after like 40 years, something like that. He's lost like 45 pounds. He bought a 900 pair of, Versace shoes. I mean, this guy's, he's all, and I told him, I said, listen, you know, you can put steak sauce on a hot dog, but it's still a wiener. You know what I mean? We're praying that he has a great time. And so the two of us are going to knock it out. Yes, we do have plays for tomorrow. I have two plays that I love. And what are my numbers this week, by the way? But first of all, what are our numbers for K4 Wins, first of all? And then I want to talk about telling the bone here.
Yesterday, 5-0. So not a bad day, 100%. Since Tuesday's podcast, we are 11-2-1, 84%. And overall year-to-date, 704. 358 and 566%. And yes, to brag on Tony, 22-7 this week on your own.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I feel like 22-7 is nothing to sneeze at all. And that is, by the way, 75.9%, which is like really good. We're hitting at about 67%, which is unbelievable for as
and
long
you
as
we've been playing big spreads. I mean, point blank, you have we have posted and you have played a lot of over and unders that are plus and minus 10%. So that's even better. It's easy. A lot of people do it. A lot of capping services, you know, we've talked about it in depth before. A lot of capping services will put out their, you know, 50 unit game of the year and it's a minus 400 favorite.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You're not doing that. Again, we try not to post, you know, large favorites, something like that. We'll do the run line instead of the money line. But a lot of yours have been over-unders in baseball this week as well.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about the over-unders. It's a great time to play those because you have a lot of pitchers that are kind of losing it. Like a lot of pitchers are playing for the end of the season. A lot of teams are out of contention, and they're just not throwing their A game. So I'm loving the over-unders on those things. So we'll have more of K4Wins.com today and through the rest of the week. Just trying to build up a little cash for all of us, as well as you and, of course, the other two guys for college football season. It's interesting because there is a team in Major League Baseball that has won more games than the L.A. Dodgers since the All-Star break, and that team would be the Colorado Rockies. They have won 15 games. The Dodgers have won 14 games. And, of course, I think I saw four. What am I? Was it my 420 this week? Minus 420 when the Dodgers are playing Colorado? So
in
that's
Colorado
the kind of stuff.
Colorado won.
Yeah. So we don't, you know, we don't mess around with that stuff. We will. But for the most part, anything over $1.55, $1.60, I have to really like something strong to go that high on odds. Otherwise, I just won't post the plays. You only had two games yesterday. I only had three. We had a whole host of games, and there's just three things that popped out. We went 5-0. We'll take 5-0 over a 7-5 night, any night.
And how about our NFL preseason game? There was no sweat. We had the Giants minus 6. They won by 32. Our WNBA game, which I can't stand having to post, but we posted anyway because it just wasn't a great day. We had Las Vegas Aces minus 1.5. They won by 20. I mean, pretty easy wins, you know, just for those two.
Well, we got a couple of easy wins tomorrow. Iowa State, K-State, 11 o'clock Central. That, of course, is from Dublin. I just can't believe that I'm going to be getting out of bed tomorrow morning at 7:30, and about 2 hours, 3 hours later, it's time to watch some college football. It's just going to be fantastic. Idaho State, UNLV, Fresno State, Kansas, Sam Houston, Western Kentucky. I've got a big play on that game. And Stanford and Hawaii to finish out our day. So college football all day, every day. And then, of course, we're going to have times during the year where we have games every day of the week. The NFL schedule then starts up a week and a half from now. I'm a huge NFL guy. I know you are, too. I cannot wait for my Cincinnati Bengals season to watch that defense get out there and give up 47 points a ball game. It's going to be fantastic. So looking forward to a fantastic season. It's going to be a lot of fun. Anything – listen, let me ask you this. Would you rather, as a handicapper, would you rather have, and I know how you're going to answer this, and this is kind of a dumb question, but I know where most of us will say, I would rather look at a five-game schedule and get a chance to look at every game in depth and really come with two or three plays that I feel really good with, as opposed to having 67 ball games and then just kind of flying through all of them, because you can't, unless you're someone like Case who does it for a living, you can't possibly look at 67 different matchups and come up with your best plays. You see some things, you're like, ooh, I'm definitely on that one. Maybe you'll look a little bit more in depth into it. But when you really have to look at the five or six games you have on that particular day, you can really do some homework.
Well, if I'm looking at 67 games, then the first thing I'm doing is I'm seeing the initial line. And anything that's off to me, whether it's total or whether it's a game, then if I find 30 that interests me, then okay. If I find 30 that I think, yeah, that's probably right, just ignore them and move on. And you know, I love team totals, especially in the NFL. But I do that, you know, first half a lot of time with that. But I like totals in college as well for the teams. And I think that's a more difficult thing to do early on. It's a lot easier to do when you only have five games. Also, if you're going to put a play on all five games, and I doubt we have a play on all five games, you know, this weekend. It's interesting. When you look at that, you know, you have some lines like Iowa State, K-State opened at 3 and minus 50. Well, today it's 3 and minus 50 as far as the money line is minus 50, not minus 3, minus 50.
Yeah.
Stanford, the biggest swing. Stanford opened as a 2-point favorite, and today Hawaii is a 2.5-point favorite. Yeah. Lines moving 4.5 points like that is interesting, and I understand it's at Hawaii, and it's just because Stanford is supposed to suck that much. Apparently this year. But, you know, more to answer your question, I think it's easier to cap, absolutely, when you only have to look at five games. I think with a bigger slate, it is easier to find more value in that, though.
Well, and you know, we always talk about Case. You know, he puts out his plays, and, of course, you get your plays at K4Wins.com, and for a subscription rate, you're getting all of our stuff, and you're hitting 67%. Anyone that's been on board is just, like, absolutely loving us, and you will for the college and professional football season. But he's – this is what he does. This is what he does for a living. And so we're so happy to have him on board and a cornerstone of the show. And he's put up just a ton of futures plays. And I know you wanted to get into some of those before we dive into some of the games tomorrow. I know some people are – I do have something I just absolutely love on that Iowa State K-State game tomorrow. And I've got a play that I absolutely love on Sam Houston and Western Kentucky. The other three games, not so much. I was 7-2-1 playing my UAB Blazers last year. I've got a lot of inlines there. While I'm not their field reporter or they're in the locker room kind of guy, I know Trent Dilfer really well. I knew Bill Clark really well. I've got a good idea of my finger in the pulse of this particular team, and more so in year three with Trent than I ever had with anyone else. Is there any particular team? And I know that you're a big Tennessee Volunteer fan, so you know everything about the Tennessee Volunteers. If you tell me to go against the Tennessee Volunteers or go with I'm taking them all day long, because I know you do your homework. You know everything about that football team. Any other team that you particularly follow that you feel like you really got a good feeling about this year as far as whether they're going to be good or bad?
K-State, I follow a lot. I don't know why, but I've followed them since Bill Snyder, and I really like Chris Kleiman, their head coach. Another one that I follow that's on a lower level is I really follow and watch North Dakota State a lot and like to bet their games when I can. And I have a question for you, if it's okay at this point, because you guys talked about this last Saturday before it happened yesterday.
Yep.
And the effect that the SEC going to a 9-game schedule is going to have on smaller market teams, because I know you had Mark Ingram on last weekend, and you guys talked about this. And I hate that they feel like they had to go to this 9-game schedule. If you could just kind of talk to, you know, what you guys talked about and what Mark said about it last week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's how a lot of these teams like UAB. UAB is getting $850,000 to go to Tennessee in week four. And that's a huge amount of money, particularly when you're talking about UAB had to pay out over $400,000 now annually to this house versus NCAA debacle, this mess, money they really don't have to spend. Seven teams or seven organizations in all D1 football last year made money. Now, a lot of people will put down, yeah, we made money, but I'm talking about net. I'm talking net. Only seven programs in college football actually made money. That's hard to believe. So it's why we can't keep doing it. If you have a store and it's not making money, you close up. What's that?
Who are the seven?
Tennessee was one of them. Ohio State was one of them. Michigan was one of them. You had a bunch of Big Ten. Alabama was one of them. I think Texas was in there, but everyone else, Georgia lost money, almost all the SEC, but the SEC were getting $25 million paydays every week, too.
Georgia's losing money because they keep having to pay for their guys' speeding tickets.
There you go. Exactly. And now you're throwing $20 million in on top of that? You have a $20 million cap in order to pay players? I mean, and you know these teams. Every team in the SEC should be spending every dime of that $20 million. If you're not spending that $20 million, you don't want to win. That's what people will say. Wait a minute. We only spent $17 million for Mississippi State. Tough shit. You need to go out there and spend 20. I mean, if they're giving you a $20 million allotment, even if you don't have it, you need to go spend it because your fan base is wanting you to spend every bit of it. Now, here's the problem. If you're spending the same amount of money as Alabama or Auburn or anyone else, and you're losing and you're going 5-6 on the season, then people are going to go, you're making bad investments here. You obviously don't know your skill level. You don't know what your players that you're actually investing in. So you may have to end up getting a whole new coach in there just to buy and sell players.
Wouldn't it be nice if everybody could spend the $20 million, though? Yeah. If everybody legitimately could spend it and you had, you know, going back. People are thinking, well, this just, you know, this makes everything unequal. Well, it's been unequal for a long time because people like Alabama, you know, Alabama fans are mad now with the NIL because the $50,000 in the charger that Saban gave all the recruits, that just doesn't fly anymore. Even though it was illegal, you know, it's legal now. Everybody knows they were doing it. Good grief. I mean, come on. Just like Ohio State was doing it, Texas was doing it, Tennessee was doing it, Georgia was doing it. Everybody cheated. I don't care. There is not a program in the country. That's right. I will say it. There is not a program in the country that did not do something illegal in the past. I mean, year as well.
Well, no, that we had that whole thing with the secondary violations. The secondary violations were misdemeanors, and everyone had to divulge their secondary violations before the beginning of the season. And every team, on average last year, had 21 secondary violations. 21.
Well, think about Bruce Pearl when he was at Tennessee. It was a secondary violation to have the barbecue he had.
Sure.
But it was a number one violation for lying to the NCAA about it.
Exactly.
I mean, which to me doesn't make a lot of sense. You would think the violation would be the recruiting aspect of it, but I also get the lying to the NCAA. And I know people are going, oh, why did you bring that up? Well, I mean, I love Coach Barnes, but I love Bruce Pearl as well.
Yeah, having two kids, you know that when your kids lie to you, it's always worse than when they just don't tell you the truth. I'll look at my kids and go, just tell me. Tell me what the deal is. And yeah, I'm going to hammer you. I'm going to come down on you. But if you lie to me, it's going to be 10 times worse. And that's exactly what happened to Bruce Pearl.
Since you said that, I would be remiss if I did not say happy birthday to my precious princess. My daughter Addison turns 18 today. She'll be on the sidelines doing what she loves, cheering for Hoover against IMG tonight at 8:00 on ESPN2.
By the way, I was out at Oak Mountain last night. For people that are listening outside the Birmingham area, Oak Mountain High School, they play their games obviously on Friday. There's a Thursday night game, 6th, 7th, 8th graders, and they took about 12 snaps and then a clap of thunder and they ended the game. I hate that. I think we should just, again, this whole thunder thing, man, we used to play in tornadoes. Remember the tornado game? There was a tornado warning in Atlanta when there was a football game in the SEC being played, and they played through it. I'm not saying I want to see people lose their life, but for a clap of thunder, it wasn't even raining last night. There was a clap of thunder about 35 miles away.
And they ended the game. during the tornado in, was it 83? Iron Bowl tornado. And I mean, it was a downpour. You would never, never see anything close to that. They, that stadium, I think the game was a 2:30 game. You would not have played that game till 7 that night. My son Knox, his bumpless seventh grade team, we played Trustful last night, beat the stank out of them. They kept their starters in. Yeah, but everybody was a jamboree. That's probably why that game got canceled last night. Because seventh and eighth grade, the middle schools were just jamborees. The real season starts next week. For everybody that's listening that's not in Alabama, sorry. But, yeah, I had to brag on my kids.
To get back to your, as you should, to get back to your nine-game schedule, I've never been a nine-game schedule guy. That's something that the Big Ten has been pushing the SEC to do. And I think I think he's done a wonderful job at holding on to that little ace in the hole for a long period of time to make it look like we really didn't want to go to nine games just so the Big Ten actually felt like we gave them something good. Does that make sense? Because we don't really care. We really don't. A nine-game schedule is not going to change anything. It's going to save some of the bigger schools money because they're not paying some money. What I do hate about, though, is for these group of five schools that do count on the Tennessees and the Alabamas and the Georgias, like UAB gets every single season. They're going to have to do, the schedulers and the SIDs for these smaller schools are going to do a better job and a more lengthy job, if you will, over the course of maybe right now they schedule 5 years out. They're going to start scheduling 10 years out in order to find these games and try to get one of these games because these teams are still looking for it. You can still count an FCS game as a bowl game. That's why UAB is playing Alabama State on Thursday night. UAB needs all the wins they can get. They haven't been to a bowl game the last two seasons, despite they went every year since 2017. So, yeah, you're going to play those Alabama States. You should beat this team by 35 points, and they better do it to protect it next Thursday. They're not getting any payday, and they're not getting a return, a return investment. Alabama State's not getting UAB down at their place. So you get to count that FCS win. So it's always been a cupcake win we were talking about. Would you rather see Ohio State – you know, lose to Texas in the first game of the year and then miss the playoffs by one game, or would you rather see them play West or Illinois and make the playoffs? I think most fans would say, I'd like to see Texas play first. I want to know where my team is. But as a father who has a budget, I love some of these cupcake stinker games because I get to actually take my family to a football game. I can't take my family to the Iron Bowl every year. I can't do it. I can't afford it.
Well, I mean, they could make it real simple. I mean, you could make it very simple, and you could help in-state programs if all these athletic directors would listen to me. Go in and schedule your in-state smaller schools.
Ohio State does it every year.
You have to do it at least once. Alabama not playing UAB is stupid. I get it. They didn't want to. Wimp Sanderson never wanted to play UAB in basketball. Why? Because he had everything to lose and nothing to gain. Sure. I was at the first UAB-Alabama game in Coleman Coliseum when UAB won because I went to UAB, and UAB won that game. And it was a great thing. And they'll play, you know, basketball every once in a while. And Auburn has always – well, not always. But
the only time they play now is the NIT. Yeah, they still won't play each other.
They've played, you know, UAB. Yep. But, you know, it's hurtful. You could help – other colleges in the state. And UAB is a part of the
Alabama.
University of Alabama.
you're paying yourself, basically. Yeah.
UAT playing UAB. I mean, yep. Why not do that? It makes no sense to me.
All right. We got some big plays going on for our first thing tomorrow. I know people are super excited about that. We're going to be all over. We're all over the NFL. I just mentioned the case is going to have all kinds of inside information. Doesn't mean it's necessarily going to win you a ball game or not, but we had a guy that's going to be in the locker room with the Las Vegas Raiders, so we could talk to him all year. We got all kinds of sources for UAB, for Tennessee, for Ohio State, for Alabama. We're going to have you covered up here. We'll have some more of those plays coming up here a little bit later on in the show. You did mention before we started, we did all futures this past Tuesday. And by the way, our show runs on the K4Wins YouTube channel, K4Wins YouTube channel live. It also runs on Tony Curry Radio. Get the TKR app, like 100,000 folks have already done it, TKR. You can also find us, of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast. And on the Coastal Sports Digital Network, along with Angel and, of course, Pete, the entire crew do a bang-up job, fantastic job with Coastal. We're on their network, of course, every single week, every Tuesday and Friday, 10 o'clock Central, 11 o'clock Eastern time. So get after it. We talked about a lot of the futures, and we went through some more of our futures. And you talked to someone like Case, who's put out like 35 different futures bets. We're not going to go through all of his plays. We want you to listen every single week, so we want you to stay enticed and stay enthralled with the show. But several things you wanted to get into before we actually get into the college football season, because I know there's a couple futures. You've already dropped the load on Tennessee. You love the Baltimore Ravens in the pros over. Give us a couple other plays, and why'd you want to bring this up?
Some of these, just if people didn't see it Tuesday, you know, we went through these, and these are not just mine. This is the consensus of the group. But, yeah, Baltimore, the over 11.5, that is one that I've just, you know, hammered on. Case talked about it extensively, I think, Tuesday. Some of the reasons why we like the Cleveland under a 5.5 future in NFL. I don't like it as much, but the consensus of the group, a 3-1 Buffalo over the 11.5. Miami over 7.5.
Hey, by the way, real quick before you move on, and I'm glad you brought this up. Josh Allen, for the first time in his career, will not take a preseason snap. Does that help him or hurt him? Now, we know what Joe Burrow just did. He put the ball up 21 times, but the Cincinnati Bengals are 1-11 in weeks 1-3 under Coach Zach, and 1-7 their last 2 years in weeks 1 and 2. They get off the schneid. They've missed the playoffs by one game the last 2 years. So his coach was like, you know what? Bullshit. You guys are starting to play preseason games because we can't afford to lose these first couple ball games. But for the first time, Josh ain't taking a snap. Is that going to hurt him or help him?
I don't like it, but I understand it because he runs the ball so much for them and he does take a beating, even though the way you cannot hit anymore in the NFL is just stupid, ridiculous. I love watching the reels of old NFL hits. It's just so awesome because you can actually hit people. I mean, these guys are making 25, 50, whatever million dollars a year. But, you know, if you touch them if I do this, you know, I get fined $50,000 and it's a 15-yard penalty to a quarterback. It's just, it's ridiculous. I do think it's going to hurt him a little bit, but you know, if he's this consummate pro that he's supposed to be, and he does have more experience than Burrow, so maybe it doesn't hurt him as much. I don't know. I think that it has hurt Cincinnati because it wasn't just Burrow not playing. They didn't play their starters for much of anything those last 2 years, and I do think it's going to help Cincinnati, although I like their under. You know, the under 9.5, I do think it helps them. And I think Cincinnati's a better team this year.
Jamar Chase looked like he was in heaven. Jamar Chase, they interviewed, he's like, I'm so happy to be out there playing, man. He wants to go out there and get hit. And to your point, this is not a Deion Sanders type of game anymore. Deion Sanders hated playing corner because if you watched, I think there was one hit on him in his entire career. He did not like to be touched. He didn't want to be hit. He's like, I'm not doing this. Why I play on the defensive side of the ball. But Josh Allen, you're right. He's one of those guys that needs to get a little lathered up. And I just thought that was interesting that, I mean, listen, maybe last year, maybe 3 or 4 snaps, but not to take a snap at all during the entire preseason, just be on the sidelines. You got to be bugging out. You got to be juicing up and ready to go for week one. So continue with your futures. You end right there at the Buffalo Bills.
You know, we did put Miami's over 7.5 out, Cincinnati under, and Pitt under, which it's knowing that division with Pitt and Cleveland, you got two unders there. So kind of difficult to take Cincy under. If you take three of those in the division under, then, you know, wow. College football, you know, one of my favorite plays, I have two plays that I like more than anything else as far as futures. And we've talked about it and everybody agreed. Alabama over 9.5. I think they get that. And I think they get that before they even play in the Iron Bowl. So, you know, their last game's just gravy. I really think they win 11. I would take them over 10.5 personally. I don't love it because it's against my team. But Tennessee under 8.5, people just don't understand how much Tennessee has lost. And the whole Boo Carter fiasco, that is going on there with him missing practices, being late, even though he's come back, he's had so much work that he's had to do, get back to the team. Gerard McCoy being hurt and getting and is not back for them. They're going to be starting at least one, if not two, freshmen on the defensive line because of an injury that just happened last week also. So I like that even more. You know, we gave out Kentucky under 4.5. We have Clemson, you know, over the 9.5. I hate that at minus 257. You can get them over 10 at minus 210 in places. You know, we had some disagreements on the Florida case, and I really like the under 7.5, but I feel like you and Kip might have liked the over 7.5.
Not so much. I'm indifferent. I mean, it's going to hit 7 or 8. I mean, I just think it's right there, and if it's that close, I probably won't play it.
I think Kip, one of Kip's favorite plays that he gave out was NC State over 6.5. He is really high on that team. You know, I know you're really high on South Carolina. I don't think people realize how much their defense lost. And we, I took some grief for this. We got an email for a couple of straight weeks from a South Carolina fan just dogging me for my Tennessee love, and that's the reason why I was picking South Carolina under. No. Now, I do think that their coach is a douche, but it has nothing to do with my love for Tennessee versus South Carolina. I think they lost a ton on defense, and while I think Lenora Sellers is a great quarterback, he had a great year last year. He's also going into a year that could be a down year for him, and he ran the ball a ton. You get
– Why, and I'm not going to get an argument with you, but why do you feel like it would be a down year for him?
Well, that just the sophomore slump, if you will, coming in after such a good year last year. I also worry about him, like I do other quarterbacks that run as much as they do, of getting nicked up. He is their offense.
Yeah, and I don't think he ran. I don't think he ran as much as he's going to run this year, and I think he's going to run more this year than he did last year. I don't think there were enough quarterback. I don't think there were enough quarterback draws for him last year. Well, and again, we can go by the health of a quarterback. He's one of a few teams in the SEC I can actually name the quarterback because there's not too many teams that have quarterbacks anymore. I mean, everyone's moving all over the place. It's really hard to. But I understand it. For me, South Carolina is going to easily get it, or there's barely not going to get it. Normally, if I go, what are the chances of easily getting it or barely? They're going to win 6 or 7 games. And so if it's that close, and of course, I have to kind of ride my own because we were going to pick 4 teams that we knew were going to make the playoffs, and I was trying to go outside the box a little bit, not go pure chalk like everyone else is going to Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia. And so I went with South Carolina. You went with Boise State. You went with something. I applaud your efforts for going a little something different. What's the over under Boise State, by the way? Is it 10? There's only 3 or 4 teams, I think, all of college football that have double digit win totals. Yeah.
But I tell you what, I looking at Boise's matchup week 1, it opened at 8 for Boise at South Florida. It's all the way down to 6. Now, I played South Florida at 8. And I'm going to throw a little bit on that money line, as well. Ashton Jeanty being gone, I think really is going to affect.
He's a generational player. Generational guy. Yeah.
And I just, although, you know, like I said, Boise is one of mine to make the playoffs. Like you said, so it just, I don't know that game, the more I look at it, the more I say, wait a minute. And I hope that I hope I'm wrong. And you know, it'd be great to me for Boise to win by 3. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, you'd have both sides of it. And then you get yourself a victory, and you're also holding true to, of course, your line play. We're going to have a couple of interesting lines. I will say this. Where do you find and for people that don't know Kai's been working both sides. You've done stuff, worked with Vegas. You've done all kinds of different things. So you've seen both sides of the lines, and that's why we love having you on the show. But at this point in the season in college football, where do you usually find the most value? I think I know what your answer is going to be, but is it in sides or totals?
For me, it's totals. It really always kind of has been. I seem to do much better on totals. Unless it's a really big line, you get lines over 20. I like those. And I generally like, home dogs in those situations. But it just depends on the team. But the value that I find is in totals, and it takes, in my opinion, it takes Vegas about 3 weeks to catch up NFL totals. It takes 6 weeks for them to catch up to college totals, to team totals. And I don't know why, but in my opinion, just like last year, they never caught up to Washington in the NFL. The team totals for Washington were low.
Well, you know why. I mean, it was a guy, Jay Daniels. He was the difference maker there for their, and he could sway a game by 14 points in a heartbeat. I agree with you. And it's funny because, I mean, you do see, as many times as you'll go, wow, that over-under was 60, and the final score is 35-25. They nailed it again. I mean, we see a lot of that, but for every game like to see that, you see a total of 60, and it ends up being 21-20, and they're off by 20. So you have to find those little nuggets. And I also realize that purist, I hate the word purist. Purists just sound like an old stodgy fart. You just don't want to change your ways. You've worn the same underwear since your daddy wore underwear. So you're going to wear grippies until you're dead. You're 85 years old. You're never going to change. I get that. But purists don't like playing over-unders because they think, you know, it's kind of a spook, because there are some times when you can get the over by halftime. I understand. I love that aspect of it. I think that's why a lot of people play overs, because the game's never over. I love those 6 and 7 overtime games in the past, man, where you had the over 62 and it's like 20-20 at halftime. Next thing you know, you got a 42-41 game because of overtimes. My way I look at it, If you can play it, you can win it, you can do it. There's a guy here locally, I forget what his name was, who was 20 years ago, who made a living off of over-unders because he ended up hitting like 17 over-unders in a row or something on some
bartender. Yeah. Bartender. Okay, he's with Bartender and Apache, and Bartender only played
I was not going to mention them by name, but yes, you're correct. And because
of that, it's not his name, so it's okay. No. But, you know, in NFL, just a thing that they always say to do is, if you have a total in the 30s, you take under. If you have a total in the 40s, you take over. That's what you're supposed to do in the NFL. You take the game that is the lowest total on the board, and you bet under. You take the game that's the highest total on the board, and you bet over. Now, is that going to win every week? No, but over the year, you'll make money if you just play those two games over and under in that way.
Over the course of a long period of time, that's the same idea of, if you lose the first half of a doubleheader, make sure you take the other team in the second half, because 65% of the time they're going to split. And it seems like whenever I do that, I end up don't winning those games. There's something about the number 43 in the NFL that I for some reason I'm drawn to play the over 43 in the NFL on any game. It's over 43. It's stupid, I know, but that's just one of those where I'm going to sit on the couch at the end of the game. It's going to be where I start at the beginning of the game. But for some reason, the last 7 times I bet over 43 in the National Football League, it's gone under. And so I'm kind of like, so maybe I'm like, you know what? Maybe I've had it with my over 43s. Maybe I'm not going to do that anymore. But it is amazing because, I mean, I know some guys, you know, for the same guys that go, they're 12-0 against the spread, blah, blah, blah. Listen, that is homework. We talk about trends. Well, trends are what a person does. I trend to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. There's a real good chance I'm going to get up tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock again. You know why? Because I've got my ass out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning 11 of the last 12 weeks. That's what you call a trend. And so that is something that you want to put some value behind, something you want to believe in, something you perhaps you want to bet on. Now, if you want to sit there and say, on Thursday nights, when the temperature is below 37 degrees, this team is 13-55, so I'm not playing them, that's a bullshit trend. That's a Tony Curry trend. That's a Tony Curry useless fact trend.
But I know some trend.
Yeah, some people. Well, you used to have in the Green Bay all the time. Brett Favre was terrible in domes. It was still Brett Favre, but he was terrible in domes. Green Bay was terrible in December in games where it was 50 plus degrees. I don't know why. It's the same damn football. It's the same damn team. But sometimes
they're going to play this because they play better teams. Generally speaking, they play better teams at those times.
Yeah, probably. Any other
Miami's record? Everybody talks about being in the cold. Well, it's also because they were going to New England every week. I mean, you know, every November or December. So yeah, New England was better than them then.
We're going to get into our plays for tomorrow, because I know some people don't want to wait to the end of the show to get those. We'll have those coming up here in a few seconds. We'll get into Major League Baseball, too. We'll save the last few minutes for Major League Baseball, because there's plenty of value there. Right now, we've got about 120 games in, so we're talking 35 to 40 games left. It's getting down the nitty-gritty. It's really getting to be a good time if you know what you're doing to make some money in Major League Baseball. So we'll get into that. Any other futures, though, you want to throw out before we get into our plays for tomorrow?
Nah, not really.
Okay. Give me a play for tomorrow.
I mean, I've been on it since day one, since it came out. K-State, I mean, we talked about it in the money line minus 50. If you don't feel as good about it, I still think K-State's better. They're number 14 in returning production in the country at 67%. They got 71% of their offense back, 63% of their defense. You know, Iowa State's 41st in returning production. The power index, K-State's 18th, and Iowa State's, you know, 33rd. What does all that mean? You know, not a lot. I like Kleiman. I like Avery Johnson. I'm not saying I don't like Iowa State. In different games, I just feel like K-State is going to power this game. I like K-State and I like the under, and especially at 51.5. It was 49.5. Now it's 51.5, and I know I probably just went on one of yours, didn't I?
I'm leaning. I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to play the over under on this game. If I was going to have a gun to my head, I'd lean the over only because it seems like I've won K-State overs a lot in my life. But I put the first play up then. It's K-State because I love K-State too. I think Avery Johnson's a great quarterback. Jace Brown is a fantastic wide receiver. Dylan Edwards back at running back. They've got a lot of guys come back on the offense and defense. 60% of the players come back, you mentioned, come back on the defensive side of the ball. Iowa State, this Rocco Beck kid is unbelievable. By the way, Avery Johnson, we talk about like a dark horse for a Heisman Trophy. Look for his name about week 3 or week 4 after they get a couple of victories underneath their belts. But they have to replace their top two receivers. They lost a ton from their defense. They lost 16 players. They lost their top 17 tacklers, Iowa State did. A lot's going to be riding in that Beck lap throughout the entire ball game. So I'm all in on K-State in this game. I see them winning by 10 at least. And I'm going to go with K-State in this particular ball game, -3. I love that. You take money line, you take whatever you want, but I think K-State gets it done. I know a lot of people are trying to find those useless trends based off games in Dublin, or who sleeps better on airplanes, who's getting there first, who's going to be able to get their feet wet first, who's going to take a shower first, who's going to eat first, all this blah, 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 blah. This kid's going to be in a different time zone. They're not going to know. The adrenaline's going to push them through for 3 hours. And with that being said, I love K-State. In this game, there's another game that I absolutely love. These are one of those games where, you know, we're going to see that first holy smokes score, because I think it's going to be like a 50-40. Sam Houston, Western Kentucky Hilltoppers over the 61. Maverick McIver, should I say, 63 career touchdowns for Western Kentucky. He is a gunslinger. And Sam Houston, I think they averaged a play every 11 seconds last year. This team runs and guns, and it doesn't matter whether it's third and long, first and long, it doesn't matter if there's an injury in the field. They're running a play every 8 to 9 seconds. It's unbelievable. Sam Houston will be getting up and down. They got one of the worst defenses. Western Kentucky's defense is outside the top 100. They're bringing back 17 guys on defense. If your defense sucks that bad and you bring back 17 guys, your defense is going to suck again. I don't know. But I'll play those 17 guys. So I'm taking the over 61. I think this is going to be one of those games where it's like 35-21 at halftime, and you just enjoy the second half, making yourself an ice cold toddy, and you're going to go. So take the over in Western Kentucky and Sam Houston over 61. Those are two games right there in the middle of the day that should suffice you, give you 6 hours of nice entertainment time where you can actually win, feel like a winner, winner chicken dinner for 6 hours. Anything else you got on the docket tomorrow? Iowa State, UNLV, Fresno State, Kansas, and Stanford, Hawaii.
FCS Idaho State going to UNLV. Dan Mullins, the question is he going to try to make a statement? -26.5 there. We got to play on that game. You're going to have to log on to K4 Wins to get that. Fresno State and Kansas, you know, that line opened at 14.5. It's down to 13 for Kansas, which I really do not understand the love that Fresno State is getting in that game. I really don't.
Maybe it's because Kansas. Yeah,
Kansas started slow last year. I think Kansas is going to be better on offense this year and better on defense. We're going to have a play on that game. Stanford, Hawaii is very interesting. Again, Stanford opened as a 2-point favorite. Now they're a 2.5-point dog.
Let me tell you what, man. 2.5 points at home. God bless you if you're playing Stanford, Hawaii tomorrow. God bless you. First of all, you're a drunk. You're an alcoholic. You've been going since 7 o'clock in the morning, and you've got to play something later on at night. You're probably playing poker with your guys down in the basement while the wife went to bed 4 hours ago, and you're like, let's go ahead and unload on this night game, because that betting on two turds, man, it's never a good idea. But if you're betting on Stanford and Hawaii tomorrow night, good for you, my friend. You're going to be a K4 winner for sure by the end of the season. There's no
doubt. You want to talk about chasing early in the season? That is an absolute chase game, and people do it. And I can remember back in the day when you had to answer the phones, for entertainment purposes only, and you had to stay open till halftime of the Hawaii game. So yep. people can place halftime bets here in Birmingham at damn 1 o'clock in the morning. Ugh.
Yeah. Back in the days, folks, and this is amazing because we could do a whole class on this. There weren't totals for every NFL game. Can you imagine? Do you remember what, is there a total on that? No, we ain't got a total on that today. If it was like a 35, 34, no. If it was a 55, 56, no, we don't have
people
a total.
People looking in the newspaper, seeing what Danny Sheridan had.
Yeah. And it would take you, first of all, a trip to Home Depot at about 9 o'clock on Sunday morning because your wife didn't know what you were doing. And so you go to Home Depot and come home with absolutely nothing. It's like, what were you doing there for 2 hours? You were in the car with a notebook writing down the lines because you had to write down the lines. They give you lines. Of course, the lines are changing. Man, I just remember those days. And then, of course, getting back on the phone, having it hang up or having it disconnect or having it busy until you finally get your plays in. But that was a good time. Special time, man.
And, you know, when people can send us questions at k4winners@gmail.com. They can get us on X. I mean, I'm always going to call it Twitter, but, you know, they can get us there. And when you subscribe to our service, I mean, you can log on and you can go and get the links there provided for you, or we can email you the plays every day. And one thing that I would tell people is as college football gets here, is if you are a subscriber, is to check back in because we'll have plays that we put up at 10 o'clock in the morning for the 11 o'clock games. And then we'll update as the day goes because things happen during the day. And you know, whether it be, so-and-so, you know, was out drunk last night. We didn't find out till 11 o'clock, things happen and you get updates at 11 o'clock on 2:30 games. So we're going to update those. And then on Sunday mornings, you know, we're going to update, you know, before noon for those games. And then we'll update for the 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock game as well. So people need to make sure if they're subscribing, if they're looking for free plays, whatever they're doing, they can look on there. And a lot of times we'll put up a free play for the 11 o'clock games and then do it again, 2:30 and even 6 o'clock. And you know what? If I'm a degenerate, maybe I'll put up a Hawaii game also.
There you go. And I promise I will have your plays for you on Sunday mornings before 8:30 mass. Because I know once I get done, it's donut time and then I'm hitting the nap. And then the next day I wake up, it's 11:45. I'm like, oh, shit, it's time to watch the football. So I'll make sure I have my plays off to you since you put all those bad boys out. Jays, Tigers, Strohs, Phillies, Brewers, Dodgers are leading right now. The Cubs, the Pods, and the Mets, and the Yankees, Red Sox, and Mariners are your wild card teams. My Cincinnati Reds are still sitting there, 6 games over .500 and a half game out of the wild card spot. And then St. Louis, a good 3.5 games back. I still like my shot there for the Cincinnati Reds. If they could just get on a little bit of a little bump and a run, we'd be good to go. Give me some baseball knowledge that we need to go into the final month and a half of the season with.
I mean, it's funny. I bet you can't tell me what team in Major League Baseball has the best run differential, has the highest run differential.
I don't know. Early in the season, it was the Yankees. It was the Yankees all day long.
It was the Yankees for months.
Yeah. I'd have to go to the Brewers just because they won more games than anyone else.
That you are correct, and you know they're 80 and 48. They are +165 runs.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, far and away higher than anybody else. I think Philly was next at like +115, and the Yankees are under 100 now. But you've still got our run differentials. We talk about Tampa Bay 61 and 67. They're +24 runs. Texas 63 and 66 +47. We're really keeping that eye on Arizona to see when this goes away. 62 and 66, they're +5, and only one team with a winning record is negative. Cleveland 64 and 62, and they're -34 runs. There's a lot of key matchups and something to help your Cincinnati Reds. I think St. Louis loses their series this weekend at Tampa Bay. That can help you a little bit there. You know, Pittsburgh, I hate to say it, but today, great matchup for Pitt. Even they're playing Colorado, who Colorado has been strong, but I like the matchup there for Pittsburgh. Kansas City and Detroit, Mize is pitching. You can get Detroit right now -50 with Mize pitching at home, over under 8.5. I really like that game tonight. Cleveland at Texas, Nate Eovaldi's at home. Texas has not been playing well. Cleveland has a winning record on the road, but Eovaldi at home is like a 1.37 ERA. And right now they're -50 today on the money line. San Fran at Milwaukee with Quintana pitching, and you can get Milwaukee -60 right now. It's a great price to have, especially when you look at some of these matchups we've talked about. the Milwaukee is 25-13 versus the lefty pitcher. San Francisco, Wisenhunt today, left-handed pitcher with a losing record.
Yeah, I mean, 25-13 sounds good for Milwaukee. That's not that good.
No, not really.
They're 32 games over 500. That's not that good. It's not that good.
But you look at Toronto, 22-12 versus left-handed pitching. Detroit, 20-13. Kansas City's 15-9. Houston, 14-8. Seattle, 20-15. Milwaukee, 25-13. So our left-handed pitching we've talked about, let's see. The teams to fade, I mean, and there's one that's epic, but you fade them every day anyway. But Minnesota's 8-17. Texas is 11-22. They're 33% winning percentage going against left-handed pitching. Pitt is 9-18, same percentage. San Francisco, 13-22, again, facing a lefty. And then Colorado, 5-30 versus left-handed pitching.
You can't. I'm not touching Colorado with a long pole right now. They're starting to get hot. I'm serious. I mean, because right now that line is so overinflated. I mean, even against lousy teams, they're catching 200. And I mean,
do you know who their best hitter is?
No.
Mike Honcho, Jordan Beck from the University of Tennessee.
Oh, there you go. There you go. There you go. I hear you. All right. So yeah, going to Major League Baseball season, and it's going to be interesting too because I love the playoffs too. Because I love the NBA playoffs. And Major League Baseball playoffs are so much fun because you're playing seven-game series. You really get a chance to see what each individual night brings. You already know who's won the game because you looked at last night. What's changed from one night to the next? Usually the pitching. And the NBA obviously doesn't change at all with the exception of the lineup. But that's where I could see a lot of value there. And, again, if you know what you're doing and you're having a little fun here, you can certainly make some good time cash in Major League Baseball towards the end of the season. I think it's fun, too. You're going to start seeing a lot of guys starting to sit over the next 20 to 30 games towards the end of the season. They're not going to be sticking their stars out there. So make sure you look at a team like the Yankees, who obviously are still in a roll. It's hard to believe. But the Atlanta Braves, who are still 11 games under 500, which I can't believe they're only 11 games under 500, to be honest with you. As bad as they play this year, they're 58-69. But yeah, you're going to start seeing the big bats, the Otanis, those guys. Who aren't going to be playing in the playoffs. Otani obviously is. I would think they're going to be pulling him off. By the way, he did not look good in Colorado the other night. He loses the game. He lost his last five decisions, by the way. The last five times Otani was on the mound, they've lost. You may see them sit him for a little bit just to strengthen his arm up a little bit for the playoff run. But you get that inside information here for K4Wins.com, and you'll find out some of those other things. Anything else Major League Baseball-wise you want to go with?
Well, you know, you also have to look at pitch counts because a lot of the young guys like Mizrowski from Milwaukee the other day, one of the reasons why we posted the Cubs who won that game is because Mizrowski was on a pitch count. They have lowered his pitch count. He's not going to go over 55 pitches more than likely the rest of the year. One of the hardest throwers in baseball, he came in. Everybody was upset. He made the All-Star game. What did he do in the All-Star game? Went out, did just fine, came back right after the All-Star game. But now he's on a pitch count. You've got I cannot remember the guy's name now. Cincinnati Reds number two starter. He's on a pitch count. So what are they going to do with them? Then you've got guys. How often is Giancarlo Stanton or Judge going to rest for those teams? Good grief! Did you see Roman Anthony's home run in the ninth inning against the Yankees last night? It was second deck. I think they estimated it was like 440. Just absolutely. Smash the ball. When are Boston's kids going to realize they're not supposed to be playing this well? No. That they're not supposed to be in the wild card race, that they're not supposed to win, 85 games.
Yankees set a record, too, by the way, this week by hitting 14 dingers in a two-game stretch, which is unbelievable. I mean, this team could not score a run to save their life, and then they go yard 14 times in two games.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And I do think with three more games, I do think that the Yankees in the game today – Bello versus I think Freed for them. So that's a tight game. I don't like Bello in Yankee Stadium. I just don't. I would have to take the Yankees. But also I go, well, is that because I'm a Red Sox fan? There are four games I absolutely love today. It's going to be a good weekend. And you know what? I can't wait to watch some football Saturday and then go sit in the pool with TV on in the afternoon and evening and watch some baseball also.
There you go. K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com, at K4Winners on X, or K4Winners at Gmail. You can go ahead and text us also. Our email at info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We get some email questions, and we can certainly pose those to Case as well. We've gotten several questions for the master out there in Las Vegas who is covering the Las Vegas Raiders as of right now. We already gave you Sam Houston and Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers over the 61 tomorrow, and both of us are loving some K-State, some Wildcat action tomorrow. They got Avery Johnson. They got Jace Brown. They got Dylan Edwards. They got 60% of their defense back. I think K-State's going to make a statement this year, and I actually see Avery Johnson perhaps. Maybe just an outside shot at a Heisman Trophy. If you want to jump on that, I have a feeling he's going to have a special season, maybe a 10-win season for K-State. And I know a lot of people are going to be playing into the whole Dublin thing. And, you know, are they too tired, blah, blah, blah. They're trying to figure out, you know, who's going to pull the fire alarm right before the game to make sure they're not getting enough sleep, the whole nine yards, blah, 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 blah. We'll get into that.
I would do that. I would absolutely do that if I was there and I was on a team. I would go and pull the fire alarm. I would be the guy that would sacrifice myself to go pull the fire alarm on the other team. Absolutely, 100%, all day and twice on Sunday, I would be that guy.
They have it.
And while you're talking about it, you know, a preseason, and we all know preseason doesn't, all these things don't really matter, but by the indexes and power ratings, K-State's got a 23.7% chance to win the conference, and Iowa State has 4.7%. That's based on all the power ratings and indexes. So, you know, that should give you something there to go on. And 26% K-State to make the playoffs. Interestingly, Iowa State 6%, higher chance to make the playoffs than to win their conference.
Interesting. I'm not sure what that means.
Me either. It was a useless Tony Curry stat that I had to bring because, you know, we have to have those in honor of the host of the show and the Bone. We have to bring useless Tony Curry facts.
Well, the Bone's 22-7 this week in Major League Baseball, and I'm expecting another big day. As a matter of fact, I've got a couple minutes before my next show, so I'm going to go start looking through some handicapping and get some Major League Baseball. Betting's so fun when you're winning. Isn't it fun? I mean, it sucks when you're always under the Mendoza line, when you're always sitting there trying to scratch yourself back to get plus. But when you're plus, you're playing with a man's money. It's just a good time. So we're going to continue to do that this week. K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com for Case Kiefer. Kit Kiefer. Best of luck to Kip in Atlanta tonight with all of his old lady friends and Kai Greger and Tony Curry, the Coastal Sports Digital Network. We greatly appreciate Angel and, of course, his entire crew doing a bang-up job, letting us be part of their family. Greatly appreciate every Tuesday and Friday at 10 o'clock Central Time. This is K4Wins back at you on Tuesday, hopefully with a winner-winner chicken dinner, a nice little schedule of games. Enjoy your college football, folks.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.